Deer Trucking Awesome. What do you think of when someone says tough? Honestly, I think of a Toyota truck. Tundra's one mean mother of a truck with a twin-turbo V6, an incredible going power, and the Tacoma claws through terrain with a taller suspension and lots of creature comforts in the cockpit. Both Toyota trucks are decked out with tons of cool features and tech you'll dig. Check them out at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
What is up? Welcome to DNVR Fantasy. Boy, that was a wild week three.
It sure was.
Presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, the best sportsbook in all of the land. Join in MLB playoffs right now. NFL, obviously. NBA Finals starting up. No better time to become a member and jump on all their sweet offers. Yeah, so fantasy owners, lots to prepare for in this one. We've got two teams that we don't have lines on because there's maybe a COVID situation. So, you know, Titans and what was the other team?
Minnesota? Well, it was the Minnesota Vikings that they were facing that they have to get positive tests on. But when you think about it, this isn't just about the Titans, it's about who the Titans are playing this week, and that is the Pittsburgh Steelers. From what I've been reading, they may just be treating this as essentially an early bye week. And then during their bye week, they would replay this matchup if they weren't able to play it. But it's three players and five staff members. And if it stays at those numbers, then they'll go ahead and play the game. And the problem is we don't know who the players are. If it's an important guy like an A.J. Brown, a Ryan Tannehill, a Derrick Henry, and it's only three players and they play the game, then you're just SOL and it counts as an injury. Hopefully your league has a provision for the COVID IR so that you can, stash a guy, pick someone up, all that sort of good business.
Yeah, but I should mention the Titans have placed defensive tackle Daquan Jones, long snapper Bo Brinkley, and tight end Tommy Hudson on the reserve COVID list.
Okay,
so they can't say as much, but we can assume those are the three players, right?
Yeah, but if you think about position groups and how they they practice together, I would still kind of be concerned about Jonnu Smith if you're a Jonnu Smith owner. So
yeah, that tight end.
If
room,
it's a tight end, or
the long snapper is
exactly
every special teamer involved.
We saw this happen. First college football game of the year, the Austin Peay versus Central Arkansas. All three long snappers weren't allowed to play because of contact tracing. It just destroyed the game. The quarterback was punting most of the way.
Craziness.
It is craziness.
So, it's just a deeper fantasy year, man.
It will be interesting to see what happens, though. Like, what happens when you can't practice for a week and you have to play a game because they aren't allowed into the facilities? We are going to learn a lot because I still think that you can play. Like, you don't need to practice to play. I mean, as crazy as it sounds in any other year, this is going to be what happens, and this is going to be our first taste of what does it look like when a team doesn't practice for a week and has to go play football. How does that change the lines going forward? This isn't a betting podcast, though. It is something I'll be thinking about, though.
Yeah, for sure. And so I just wanted to put that kind of as a frame of mind. Like, already it's been a wacky season. This just means you need to adjust and follow along with the show even more. And this will be a typical Tuesday show. We're going to run through all the games, see who stood out, who disappointed us, run through some bets that might have been won and lost, look ahead to some season-long bets where maybe things are going one way or the other. So we started off with this wacky Thursday night. We were bullish on the Jags. Mm-hmm. We got humbled a bit.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
James Robinson was the one saving grace for the Jags. Really nice game. Now, it helps he got into the end zone twice. Wasn't great as a runner. We did say pick Myles Gaskin up, but don't start him. He wasn't a start, but he was definitely a have on your roster.
Can I get some love on this?
On Gaskin?
Yeah. I call this as a pick him up early so that next week when you're going to have to spend solid fab or use a high waiver wire priority, you already have him.
Yep.
So maybe you didn't start him. Perfect. He still had a decent number of points, but his involvement in that game was pretty big, man. He had 22 rushing attempts and 5 receptions. Like,
Yeah.
That's good. And I get that, you know, the Dolphins aren't the best team necessarily, but at the same time, that's volume. And you love volume no matter what.
Yeah, and how many 20-point leads will they be nursing and running the ball 22 times? But still, valuable to have when there's such a lack of depth at the running back position.
You can't just let me have this W.
The other no, I can't. The other standout, Keelan Cole here for the Jags. Fine. On the Dolphins side, Mike Gesicki barely salvaged his day with one touchdown.
Yeah.
If not, it was going to be disastrous for the Dolphins. Very talented tight end.
He was a hot name coming into the week, though.
And it'll
be interesting to see what happens from here. Were the last couple weeks more of a fluke, or was this week the fluke? I mean, he did get the touchdown, though, which did salvage things for him.
That was huge. We should mention LaVisca, a bit disappointing. Obviously, the Jags weren't able to do what they wanted to do in this one.
Yeah, but still, still James Robinson believer. Two touchdowns. He had, what, I think like 13, 14 touches.
Yeah, no.
You would have liked to see Visca get a little ton portion of that as well.
Yeah. Didn't expect that for James Robinson to kind of steal that show. Are you concerned about Chris Thompson, guy?
No. Oh, am I concerned? Hold up. I'll reframe this. Am I concerned about if I have Chris Thompson and how he's going to fit into that offense? Or am I concerned about, as a LaVisca owner, whether Chris Thompson is affecting his...
No, as a Chris Thompson owner, are you concerned that he is not good to own in fantasy anymore?
I'm sorry. If you still own Chris Thompson, you should have dropped him a minute ago. There shouldn't be Chris Thompson owners right
now.
Agreed. Yeah. Unless you're in a super deep, like 14, 16, dynasty, something or other. I wouldn't have Chris Thompson. They've already kind of shown that he's not really a part of the plan. Like James Robinson gets catches. LaVisca Chenault obviously is like their gadget style player. Yeah. Chris Thompson just doesn't really have a place on that team right now, barring a significant injury. But even when that running back position was up for grabs, it was James Robinson that took it, and he's a rookie, and he wasn't even a highly drafted rookie. So no, I don't have any faith in Chris Thompson. He belongs on the waiver wire.
He was kind of a sleeper for you at the beginning of the season.
I know. I was actually pretty pissed that I didn't get him on a couple other teams, and you know,
worked out.
You can't win them all, Dre.
Let's just get this out the way. Buccaneers, Broncos, very few fantasy takes. Obviously, with all the Broncos injuries, with no Drew Lock, there's no one you can justify starting right now. I still have optimism in the second half of the season for Jerry Jeudy. Mm-hmm. Noah Fant, you're still going to be able to start in certain spots, but that's about it.
Yeah.
We're going to have to see going forward who the quarterback is. Have they made an announcement yet?
It's Brett Rippon.
Okay. And then, I mean, obviously they'd signed Blake Bortles for a reason. So there's a chance that, you know, you have to see who he develops chemistry with, you know. Does he like tight ends? Does he like slot receivers? Does he like outside receivers? How's he going to, you know.
Fair enough to stay away from all of them until
at this
Locke
point,
returns.
Yeah. Like, I would hold on to Jerry Jeudy and Noah Fant, keep them on the bench just in case, you know, because they're going to have some involvement in the offense. But I wouldn't play them until I was sure just how much and like what kind of roles they would be playing. Outside of that, Melvin Gordon had a disappointing week. And honestly, I think the book is out on how to beat the Broncos. And that is, you know, with
show
consistent
up to the
pressure
field.
And they're not like their screen game is non-existent. So I don't see how Melvin Gordon really has a path towards fantasy production when
gonna
he's just going to be
big,
facing stacked fronts.
The ball.
Yeah, he's going to be facing stacked fronts all the time.
And the thing is, like, that really was a great front seven. And also, Melvin Gordon only had 8 carries. And so there was, like, the chance that with more volume, but I still don't think against that front seven anything good was going to happen. Now you have Phil Lindsay coming back, so whatever carries he gets are going to be cut in half.
Yeah.
Just stay away from this offense.
Yeah.
I'm not sure from a fantasy perspective the Buccaneers' offense is that much more exciting. Brady has a good day. All of a sudden, we go back to Ronald Jones getting the majority of the touches and not Leonard Fournette.
At this point, you should just be betting like, okay, Ronald Jones had a big week. Now I'm going to play Leonard Fournette. Leonard Fournette had a big week. Now I'm going to play Ronald Jones. Just like seesaw back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
But to be honest, I wouldn't want either.
It's a bad backfield. Scotty Miller has the most receiving yards, but it's mostly just off one play. Godwin and Evans both have touchdowns and kind of salvage what we're underwhelming days otherwise.
Well, the thing is, so Godwin went down with an injury, and it looks like it's going to be a decent amount of time.
Again.
Yeah, and one of the other receivers, I'm blanking on his name, but I'll look it up here in a second, he went down as well. So really, Scotty Miller looks like he's in line for some solid production. So in terms of waiver wire pickups, Scotty Miller for me is probably a top three in terms of wide receivers. So I would keep an eye on that for sure.
Yeah, it's crazy, though, to see that Tom Brady threw the ball 38 times and there still weren't any receivers that you really wanted to have. I mean, Chris Godwin has a solid day, but mostly because of the touchdown.
Just because of that touchdown.
And now he's gone. Maybe Scotty Miller falls in.
Can we talk about Mike Evans' stat line in this one? Two receptions, 2 yards, 2 touchdowns. It's kind of ludicrous. Mm-hmm. I would say, I mean, you're glad you got those points, but I would be pretty concerned moving forward if I was a Mike Evans owner, man. Like,
yeah, and it's only, yeah, I mean.
Like, he's getting red zone looks, that's cool and all, but at the same time, like.
Well, with Godwin's injury, you're going to talk yourself back into Evans. I mean, if you have Evans, there's no, like, not starting him. But, yeah, you're.
I mean, I would try to trade him. Pick. That's my point, though, is that you take that stat line and you see the underlying, like, what it means, the significance in how he was used, and then you use that to try and trade him because this I think is like the highest his value is going to get, to be honest.
Where's that, what's the range of like an acceptable trade target for Mike Evans?
Like
Calvin Ridley, that's probably shooting too high.
Dalvin Cook? No one's going to accept that. Dalvin Cook? Yeah,
who would
potentially.
Rather, Mike Evans
I would
or
take
Dalvin
Cook.
Cook.
I'd take Dalvin
I would take
Cook.
Dalvin Cook. So if you could get that offer, sure.
That means you're probably
how
not getting
how things
it.
Have changed in a week. Bears, Falcons. I can't believe the Falcons did this to me again. By the way, I'm winning that Calvin Ridley bet so easily. He's the number one fantasy receiver in that offense. Todd Gurley, good day. 14 carries, 80 yards, a touchdown. And then on the Chicago side, Allen Robinson plays really well. Jimmy Graham has 2 touchdowns. And Nick Foles obviously is the story of the week. The other story on the Chicago side is Tyreek Cohen out, which is good for David Montgomery owners, though Montgomery still has yet to look half decent.
All right. I think you also kind of glossed over Jimmy Graham having a decent day as well.
Two touchdowns, man.
Yeah, and 60 yards receiving. So in a week that was like a lot of the very big names for tight ends were extremely disappointing, and there are some that have just been disappointing in general on the season. I think Jimmy Graham is one to definitely look at, especially considering that Nick Foles is now named the starter there in Chicago.
Graham, Robinson, and Ant Miller all had a touchdown once Foles came in. So yeah. He means a lot to that passing offense and the playmakers in that offense being able to be viable fantasy starters there.
Yeah, I totally agree. What I'm most interested from this game, though, is the Falcons running backs. And where do we stand there?
Because Brian Hill did have a touchdown in this one, right?
He did.
He did, but like I saw him drop some passes, man, and he didn't look particularly explosive. I think, I mean, if I'm the coaches looking at that, you know, I would be leaning on Gurley a little bit more just because I think he's more dependable. I was down on Gurley going into this game, and now I look like a fool, but, you know, let's just add that to the reasons of why I look like a fool. But, I would be a little more hyped for Todd Gurley moving forward after that.
Touches this week, Todd Gurley 15 to Brian Hill 10. Which way would you expect that to trend? Do you think more touches for Todd Gurley guy?
Well, that's my point, yes. Because I think that Todd Gurley is going to get more looks because Brian Hill was, like, yes, he had the touchdown, but like
Clock's
I said, drop passes
ticking
and
on
stuff.
A Todd Gurley injury. Just saying.
6.4 yards per carry for Hill.
Brian Hill was
Todd Gurley ran well as well.
Always my favorite handcuff coming into the year.
And maybe
so.
This is another instance of trying to sell high on a guy while he's still healthy. Mm-hmm. He's getting decent production. And you just look at the Falcons offense, like they're always having to put up points because no lead is safe with them.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So Todd Gurley, he's a sell high candidate.
With how much of a need there is for running backs, if you're one of the few teams in your league that's stacked at running back, definitely try to move Todd Gurley.
Yep.
I think that'd be a good idea. Quick story time corner for us.
Oh, I love this.
When I first moved to the States, you know, it was early, just a teen, you know. I pull up to a Taco Bell drive-thru late night, you know, how as one will do from time to time.
How did you know to do that?
That's just what happened.
Huh.
And the young man working behind the counter looked at me and said, "Where the trees at?" Which had a different context from me asking our producer guy, "Where the trees at in Rams Bills?" Because Bobby Trees had a good game, But come my man, on. Cooper Kupp won me a bet.
You can't ask me where he
week.
Was. Those
Let's
stat lines are
go.
So incredibly close. They think they were 1 yard off in terms of total production. If you include rushing and receiving, they're 1 yard off. So, yeah, PPR is going to give him the edge on those receptions. Yeah. I think by, you know, he had 4 more receptions, but they had almost identical numbers of yards. Both had
4
a touchdown.
4 more receptions, 4 more targets.
And I will say that was Tre'Davious White that Robert Woods had to go up against. I think at this point... Sure, Dre, we'll give it to you, all right? You won the bet. I do just want to point out, though, that Robert Woods moving forward, I hope that this silenced doubters, and I hope that moving forward you can have more confidence in him because he's the real goddamn deal, man.
Well, and Higbee, too. Higbee proved last week he got a stardom.
Actually, I'd like to talk about Higbee. I would like to talk about Higbee.
Henderson, massive game. Good call
by
you.
Darrell Henderson was great. I do want to talk about Higbee, though.
Not starting Devontae Freeman. Good call by you. Pat yourself on the back for a second. Let's talk about Higbee. Lay it on me, bro.
Yeah, Higbee, in the last 3 weeks, he has 3, 5, and then 2 receptions. Last week he had 3 touchdowns.
Yep.
The other 2 weeks he had 0 touchdowns.
Mind
I don't.
Touchdowns.
This isn't the guy that you necessarily drafted, though. I mean, he's incredibly touchdown dependent, but like,
yes,
he's
his
not
production
when,
right
in a game when there was so much offensive production happening for him to only get 2 receptions.
Well,
and
you're
that's disappointing for sure.
Really important. We liked Higbee because the final, what, like 8-6 games of last year, he was producing like a top 6 tight end.
Right, but he was getting yards and he was getting receptions.
Right.
He had 2 in a game where they scored 32 points.
Exactly.
That's concerning for me, and that's a guy that you probably took in, what, the 5th, 6th round, something like that?
I mean, again, he killed it last week for you, but you're right. You're kind of lucky that he killed it last week because he still has value while there are some cracks.
That's what I'm saying.
The other thing is, though,
3 touchdowns weeks aren't going to happen very often. So,
but this Rams offense, like, some guys are going to have 3 touchdown weeks. This is one of the best offenses in football. They're putting up almost 30 points per game, and that's going to continue. And I think that maybe the yards and the touches are going to kind of ebb and flow for everybody. The touchdowns will, too. I'm not ready to sell on Higbee yet.
It is a great offense, which is why I have this question for you guys. I'm in a league. Dak Prescott's my starter. Dak's been doing great for me. But Jared Goff is a free agent. Now, I don't have a backup quarterback, but Goff has been so good. I am considering picking him up just to ensure he's my backup and then having some, you know, the bottom of the bench can be cleared out and stuff. Would you advise that? With how good this offense has been? Or you say there's
I think
no
so.
Rush, huh?
It's so hard like with it. Quarterbacks in that tier to pick one, though.
Yeah,
and I think that offense has been so good, and there are so many threats. It'd be tempting. I do think it'd be safe. I'm not sure about the upside. I think it's safe.
Right.
I have Goff, and I'm excited about him, and I would go out of my way to try and get him at this point, especially considering, I mean, you've got guys like Matt Ryan that had dud weeks.
Dude. Ensure him, though, as my backup just to have him long-term.
Ryan Tannehill, who...
Well, and Dak got hurt in that week two game. Like, that could have been problematic for me if he didn't come back.
Yeah.
And then, okay, Josh Allen is clearly a stud. I was wrong.
Do we
wrong.
Even need to talk about that?
yeah,
I know.
Like,
no, come on, man. Like,
anyone drafting him as a top 8 quarterback, I ridiculed you going into the year. You were absolutely right. He's a stud. I'm not even sure what to make of the rest of this offense. Gabriel Davis, I can tell you, I really like... The undrafted rookie out of UCF was high on him pre-draft to some extent.
Cole Beasley
thought
was
he
decent.
Should have been drafted.
He's had, I think, 7, 7, and 6 receptions.
Beasley?
He's slightly outproduced Stephon Diggs in this game, I believe. But obviously Stephon Diggs had a very big week last week. I'm keeping my eye on Cole Beasley because he's got some consistent usage in that offense. And, you know, as a wide receiver too in that offense, I think that with Josh Allen having such a breakout at this point,
crowded.
But
it's something
and that's the thing though, is that it is getting so crowded, and as good as this offense has looked,
because like
I'm not
Brown,
so sure that it can support 3 receivers.
John
and now
Brown
that,
had a dud day
oh,
after
yeah, exactly.
two big games, the 2 previous weeks.
And Tyler
exactly
Kroft had
that.
2 touchdowns, so like those easily could have gone. Like you give an extra one. This is another point that I don't want to get to
but
later,
Gabriel,
but Devin Singletary. Yeah.
But Gabriel Davis, too. And there are so many threats that this might be one of those offense that you kind of want to stay away from outside of Stephon Diggs, because I'm not so sure that week in and week out you trust any of these guys, because there are 4, 3, maybe 4 receivers who are going to get targets, and I'm not sure that this offense is at that level to support that many guys.
And Singletary looked fine, but that run game is definitely an afterthought with how efficient the passing game has
been.
No,
I completely disagree with that. I think Singletary looked really good, and I think he was unfortunate to have not gotten at least one touchdown, because there's one that was called back on, I believe, a holding.
He had his chances.
And there was another one where his knee went down like right at the goal line and they had to call it back. He's very unlucky to have not gotten a touchdown, at least one, and he possibly two. And I think that he looked very good on the ground.
17
and
touches, though, in a game where they were up big.
Yeah. I know, but it's because the Rams. It's because the Ram came back. I just think, yeah, I do think that Devin Singletary, I would keep an eye on him moving forward. I wouldn't.
You're
I wouldn't
just
try
counting
to sell
on
him
to
yet.
Maximize his touches, because he's not going to get 25 a game even without Zach Moss.
Another guy stealing targets from those receivers too.
Yeah, true. He got four for 50. That was big.
I'm selling all the receivers that I have. I have John Brown, and I'm going to see if I can
move
him.
Sell Stephon Diggs?
Not Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs is the one who every week you trust. But outside of that, I'm scared of this offense, which is crazy because it is putting up points.
It is.
There's too many mouths to feed.
No, it's true. Yeah, it's too unpredictable right now. So in that sense, I guess Singletary is maybe almost the second most reliable or third most reliable product of that offense. Washington football team against the Browns, a bit of a dud all around. I know there's some excitement for Antonio Gibson getting a rushing touchdown, but like 9 carries for 49 yards, not a ton of touches. He does get 3 targets, but still 12 touches for a team that's always down, not great. And the Browns passing game with all those big name players does very little. It's all about the running game, which is really all we care about. And Nick Chubb has a big day.
It was.
Yeah, who else had a big day? Come on, man.
Kareem Hunt gets his touchdown.
Not gonna let me have
he got his,
one,
he got his touchdown.
He still gets three fewer carries. So what you were saying all along, you're right. That it was almost exactly the same. In fact, if you go by touches, Nick Chubb has 1 reception, 19 carries, 20 touches. Kareem Hunt has 18. So we're right there, neck and neck. Kareem Hunt does get his receiving touchdown, looks good early, doesn't run it as effectively as Chubb, who also bangs in 2 touchdowns on the ground.
That's fine. I still think, though, that Kareem Hunt, as like the number 2 option there, he's producing at such a high rate that it's incredible. I can't not say something.
He's still a valuable flex in RB2.
Flex.
But
oh
how many
God.
Games? How many games will we have where the Browns are up big and can feed the running backs? What was that? 40 combined touches?
This 38? The tough part is, though, I don't think he's at his best when he's running the ball. Like,
that's
you almost
true.
He,
yes.
The touches will skew in his favor when they're down. But you do need him to do more when they give him the ball. Like, that's just non-negotiable. You need more than 46 yards on 16 carries.
Now, in Guy's defense, if I'm going to say this about Todd Gurley, I might as well say it about Nick Chubb. The injury's around the corner. So if you do have the ability to buy low on Kareem Hunt or for some reason pick him up or whatever, it would be a good time to do that.
Yep.
Yeah, hold on. So you're talking about game script here, right?
Yeah.
How many games is this going to happen? Well, let's talk about week 1 against Baltimore when they lost 38-6.
Yeah.
And Kareem Hunt had 13 rushes for 72 yards, 4 receptions for 9.
Uh-huh.
He's still involved in offense no matter which way the game script goes. I think that he is a safer bet to be part of the game script no matter what, rather than Nick Chubb, who gets game scripted out when they go down big. That is why I'm so high on Kareem Hunt.
I understand what you're saying. What I'm saying is the last 2 weeks, Nick Chubb has dusted Kareem Hunt.
I get it, because the game script has gone in their way. But Kareem Hunt is the more consistent play, in my opinion, because he's insulated from game script. That's my point. We'll see going forward. We still have a season-long bet, and I'm excited to see season-long how this all pans out.
We've talked about prospects being QB, not QB-dependent. He is non-script dependent. I'll give that to you. So if you think the Browns are doomed and will be down 14, you might want to lean Kareem Hunt. I'll give you that. That's the cut. That's as far as I'll go,
guy. I'll take it.
Titans-Vikings. I think Justin Jefferson, this is how we're starting off this game, is the number 1 waiver wire pickup in all of fantasy football this week.
Yeah.
Owned in less than 15% of leagues per ESPN.
And when you say number 1 waiver wire pickup, when you talk in terms of fab, in terms of budget, mm-hmm. I'm spending probably about 50% of my budget right now. Like if you have a $100 budget, I would spend about $50 on Justin Jefferson. That's how important this is, because I think that they've been pushing to get him more involved in this offense, and they finally got it from him, and they drafted him very high, and this offense has needed it. And this team plays from behind so often that he's always going to be a part of the offense.
And it's a two-receiver offense. It is built to be a two-receiver offense, and he will be that number two receiver. And they've just been waiting for him to do this so they can go back to what they're trying to do. Seriously. And then you just look at the production. Like, he almost put up 20 yards per target. He was well over 20 yards per catch, almost 20 yards per target. He was dodging tackles. He was catching balls downfield. He was everything that you could have asked for him to be. Mm-hmm. You need to get your hands on him, because he will be the key of this offense. And I think everybody in Minnesota knows that and knows that they need to get him the ball.
I'm in the league with some listeners, so I'm not going to show my cards. But, guy, you said...
Come on.
You said 50.
I'm in leagues with listeners as well, and
you said 50%. I would go as high as 70% of your waiver wire budget on this one. Khalif Raymond, I cannot believe he is doing this for the Titans.
Well...
But, yeah, not sustainable. 3 targets, 118 yards. Not sustainable.
Yeah.
But still,
I was
just saying, kind of out
having
of
such insane volume on so few of targets, that's an outlier. It's a blip. I mean, it was cool to see.
Yeah.
But at the same time, no A.J. Brown. This is a game where, obviously, the score got run up with the Vikings.
Yeah, no, we agree. I mean, mm-hmm. it's not sustainable, but still worth mentioning.
And 100%. Also, doing that is how you get more targets. That is how you get a fourth target or a fifth target in the
next game. Could he be playing his way into fantasy viability, especially for, dynasty leagues or what have you? Worth keeping an eye on. I would not buy or pick him up right now unless my bench is really looking desperate. Mm-hmm. And it's a 16-team dynasty where I get points for returns, which I am in one such league. So
sounds
I will
like at this
him.
Point you're more likely to start Khalif Raymond than you are to start Kareem Hunt. And I'm hurt because of that.
I love it.
You don't even answer yes or no. You don't even refute that. I'm waiting for you to be like, no, guy, you're crazy. And you're like,
I know.
Next
I love
one.
How personal that turned.
No, I would
take Kareem Hunt. Of course. Okay, of course. You. I just said I wouldn't even pick Khalif Raymond up. Okay. Final note on Vikings Titans. A bit of a mea culpa from all of us because Derrick Henry, Dalvin Cook, they played outstanding in this one. Proved their worth as top 10 running backs going into the season.
Yeah, and I do just want to say, if you own Tannehill, it looked on paper like he had a bad game, but he did actually have, performance-wise, if you watched it, he still played very well. This was just one of those games where Derrick Henry was just not going to be denied at the goal line. I would not necessarily be concerned right now as a Tannehill owner. So if you're getting skittish about it, don't. And if you see him available on your waiver wire, and you maybe have an uncertain situation at quarterback, I recommend picking him up.
Okay, Patriots, Raiders. Hank, did you kind of predict that this Patriots offense was just going to be the old Patriots offense with a new school swing?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to own anyone that isn't Cam Newton in this offense. They stink. It's so bad how Belichick gives fantasy owners nothing to count on.
It's not like Rex Burkhead scored 2 touchdowns.
Dude, what?
Yeah. Especially, do you remember what I was saying about Rex Burkhead last week?
He scored 3, by the way.
3. Oh,
and
Jesus.
I was saying terrible things about Rex Burkhead. I said,
rightfully
remember what
so.
I was saying? You should be picking up Damian Harris because this offense has sunk to the point where Rex Burkhead is getting this many touches.
I still believe
that,
though.
And then this week, Rex Burkhead goes out and does what he did with those touches. This is crazy stuff.
And
now,
Sony Michel on 9 carries goes off for $117. Mm-hmm. Come on. Are you kidding me here?
It's a joke.
Yeah.
And then, no wide receiver with more than 3 receptions outside of Rex Burkhead?
Yeah.
Wacky, wacky stuff.
And that's what concerns me more. I didn't expect to like any of the running backs. The receivers are what's so tough, especially after Julian Edelman had the big week.
Yeah.
N'Keal Harry has had a big weeks. And I was ready. And last week, my big waiver wire decision, I guess it wasn't a waiver wire decision, but it was trying to figure out, would you rather have Edelman or N'Keal Harry? And now it's now it's is it neither? Because before they both looked like they were doing so well. I just
Edelman
don't know where to go.
Edelman shouldn't be on the waiver wire. If he's on your waiver wire, you should be picking him up.
Yeah.
But N'Keal Harry, I would I would leave him for now.
I don't know what to make of it. I will say in deep leagues, especially dynasties, J.J. Taylor, their third down undrafted running back, a guy we liked out of Arizona, Henry, is a nice little pickup.
Don't do this.
Real quick, as a super buy low waiver wire candidate that'll appreciate in time, I really like Bryan Edwards. We've been on him for a while. I think he's viable enough now, though, to where you need to pick him up. Hunter Renfro has a big day. If you're desperate, he's a decent play for the banged up Raiders right now.
Yep. Only 13 times did Cam Newton target a receiver, which is just crazy. After going off for what he did last week, keep Cam, like you're saying, but these receivers, the numbers just keep going crazy. Talk about what you're talking about.
It was just a weird game, man. I mean, like you're saying, when he plays against better teams, I think he plays up to the competition. The Raiders, it's kind of hard to tell because obviously we don't like the Raiders around here, but they did beat the Saints on Monday Night Football. Mm-hmm. I think that Josh Jacobs and Darren Waller are the only two that are worth playing on that Raiders team.
Yep.
Josh Jacobs obviously had a somewhat disappointing day, but, you know, I'm not concerned necessarily I have him on my team.
Oh, yeah.
Darren Waller is something to keep an eye on, but I think that on the whole, it was just a down week for tight ends in general, so I wouldn't be that concerned. Because
you just got to ride with them.
What are your better options necessarily? You're picking up like a Mo Alley Cox or something like that, which...
Jimmy Graham, dicey. Like I wouldn't start Graham over Waller. Yeah. I'm not panicking.
Like as
like
someone
that.
Who has Evan Engram, yes, I'm willing to take that leap at this point. But if you took a high pick on Darren Waller, I think
if you had like a
now.
Noah Fant as your backup, then maybe you'd mess around with that.
I'm not worried about Waller. Bill Belichick took away the Raiders' best offensive player. That's what he does.
Big surprise. Yep.
Let's this happens again next week, then we can talk.
Right. Okay, Niners, Giants, the Giants' absolute fire sale. You don't want anything to do with this offense in fantasy. Niners, I mean, Jerick McKinnon, yes, he was one of my starts. He does well enough to justify that label. Jeff Wilson Jr., though, is this the number one waiver wire pickup at the running back position? I think so.
12 carries for 15 yards.
Yeah. Like, he gets salvaged by the touchdown,
that's what
right?
I'm saying is I don't.
And he gets a lot of utility in the passing game, though, really. I mean, it's just three targets. He made the most of it, 54 yards for a touchdown. I'm with you, but
he's like the
it's significant that he gets
he
these
does.
Many touches in that offense, right?
Yep. I just think that.
That's what scared me of this offense all along, though, right?
Yes. Like, there are too many guys in front of him
that
2 weeks will be back and in front of him.
Yeah. Plus Deebo Samuel.
Yep. And this was also against the Giants. He 12 carries, 15 yards against the Giants. I get wanting to pick him up, and I think that maybe if you can't get any of the other guys throwing a claim, but definitely don't start him.
Dre, you're laughing, but have you seen the Broncos as of late?
They're
I think that
so bad.
Jets, Giants, Broncos, so I think those are the top three picks right there in some order.
It's looking
we're
that way.
We're West New York, you could call us, with how bad our football team is. I was just laughing, remembering 3 weeks ago when people actually thought that the Giants had people worth drafting early in fantasy drafts.
Darius Slayton did have that one big game.
Saquon.
Yeah, that too. Wow. You're just going to kick a guy while he's got a torn ACL. Kick him while he's down, man.
Even I'm shook by that. I apologize instantly. I'm so sorry. Oh, no. Okay. Look, you'll feel better already. I put money on the Indians. They're down 5-1. So there you go. That's my penance.
That's for you, Saquon.
Exactly.
You're going to hear comeuppance in real time.
Brandon Ayuk.
The rookie receivers this week, Justin Jefferson, Brandon Ayuk. We'll get into T. Higgins as well, but... I mean, he showed a lot of the things that got him drafted as highly as he was drafted. Yep. He's just so explosive.
Yeah, and with the opportunities that offense has right now.
Yeah, but that's Deebo Samuel's role, and he's coming back within the next 2 weeks.
Here's the other thing. Nick Mullins at quarterback. Yeah, nice game against the Giants. I don't know how sustainable that is.
Exactly.
Obviously,
so, Brian, I'll let somebody else spend big on that. If you can get him, if you can put in like a speculative, $5 bid on him and get him, then it also depends on who you're dropping, but I would rather someone else spend big on that.
Also Giants, worth noting always that
Giants.
Sure, the 49ers
have we noted
finally
that
put
yet?
Up 36,
I think that's only the
but,
fifth time we've noted that,
but every time we talk about one of these players
have
being good
say.
Should say Giants, and the 49ers have not looked nearly this good up to this point.
Yep.
And a rookie receiver having success could be more of a factor of who he's going up against.
Next game I want to talk about, the one tie we have on the slate. As our colleague Ryan Konigsberg was telling us, funny enough, last two first overall picks get a tie in their record before they get a W in their NFL debuts. If I was to guess, what would you guess the line would have been for Eagles-Bengals to end in a tie?
I mean, is it plus like 8,000?
It's really high.
Plus 10,000? I mean, yeah, it could be right in there.
If you had that down, you would have really made some monster cash. And of course...
But, you know, at the same time, you watch that game, though, and you're like, well,
exactly.
The Bengals don't deserve a win. They're the Bengals going yeah. up against the Eagles. You watch the Eagles, and you're like, this team doesn't deserve a win against anybody. Like, they deserved a tie.
Be careful, because... producer Allie is right downstairs and
yeah I always feel bad
watch what you
but at
say.
The same time it's I like know, that is it's just a bad football team.
So just like that, you know, you could get a long shot on a tie like Bengals Eagles to come through, or you could just bet on the Broncos or your favorite player props that you heard here on the show, and you can do that all at the award winning the best of the best DraftKings Sportsbook app. Download that now and use promo code DNVR when you sign up to get this can't miss offer. You can pick any team during week 4. Bet $1 on them and win $100 if they win. That's $1 to win $100 when you use promo code DNVR during sign up. There are some nice ones like Seahawks against the Dolphins this upcoming week. So some really juicy opportunities here for you. The Rams have a really nice matchup as well. For a limited time, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only. Profit boost terms and conditions and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Okay, back to this tied game. Bengals, Eagles. Quarterbacks, the best of the bunch. Miles
can I just
Sanders
take this one real quick?
A couple
things. One, obviously T. Higgins. He had a big showing in this game, and that's
because of
that,
two touchdowns.
Yeah, okay. I was high on him going into the season, and I think that this really spells the end of AJ Green, who is another guy that I was R.I.P. high on. So this kind of signals the beginning of the end for AJ Green at this point.
Yep.
I wouldn't say necessarily drop him yet, but you should not be playing him until you see solid production from him. T. Higgins, I think, is worth an add. Tyler Boyd, 13 targets, 10 receptions. He didn't have as big a game as T. Higgins because T. Higgins got the two touchdowns.
But
the usage from Tyler Boyd for me, which is something that I talked about on the tailgate, incredibly encouraging. So if there's some way that you're able to get your hands on Tyler Boyd at this point, I would absolutely be doing that because I see Joe Burrow every week improving. Obviously, there are problems elsewhere on that team, which brings me to Joe Mixon. Disappointing day, actually disappointing first 3 weeks from him, to be honest, as someone who has him.
Tough situation for a back to be in with a team like the Bengals that are down so often, you know?
Yep.
It
but
is.
Also just not all that productive.
Yeah.
Like you would think that when you are running the ball, that you'd be going up against some light boxes because you have to throw the ball. What's so crazy is that he put up 2.9 yards per carry and the passing game wasn't all that bad. Like he has kind of been a problem for this offense, and not just some of it, of course, is coming from the rest of the team not being spectacular, but I think that he is contributing to some of these losses for sure.
I do want to say though, and this will be my big thing for the week, between him and another guy that we'll talk about later, Kenyon Drake, who are disappointing in the early parts of the season. They're getting a lot of volume. So Joe Mixon, he has what, 17 attempts in this game. And there's nobody else. There's absolutely nobody else that's touching the ball besides him in that backfield. I think that now that we're seeing the passing game start to develop itself, it's going to open up more opportunities for Joe Mixon. I think that moving forward, I think Joe Mixon will... he's going to reap benefits for you. And I think that between he and Kenyon Drake, those are my two big buy low candidates right now for trades.
It could be. I'm concerned that they have this backfield of Gio Bernard as clearly their receiving back, Joe Mixon clearly their back on first two downs, and they're just giving away what they're going to do as soon as they put that guy in the backfield. I think they need to mix it up.
Giovanni Bernard did not attempt a run.
I was going to say.
Right.
He never handed the ball.
But three targets for 55 yards.
Yep.
They use them so differently They need to mix it up more. I'd love to see Mixon get more touches.
More? He's getting he's fifth in the league right now in touches.
I should have said in the
He's fifth in the league right now in touches, and I think that going forward, that volume, he's going to be able to produce something from that. It's
offensive
been unfortunate the first 3 weeks, but moving forward, I think you bet on that volume, and he has the talent. And I think that if you can buy low on him right now, if there's an owner who's like a 1-2 and looking to shake things up and wants to sell Joe Mixon because they're frustrated, I would say jump on that.
Yeah. 8 sacks allowed, 2.9 rushing yards per attempt. Some of it is the offensive line.
You're focusing on the
That's Zach Taylor.
The efficiency stats, not the volume.
Offense needs the running game to produce more. We'll see if that happens. My only other note from this game, Greg Ward. Leading receiver for the Eagles. He's a former quarterback at Houston. Talented kid. He might be worth a late pickup in deeper leagues with all the injuries we've got going on at wide receiver.
Especially
Deshaun
considering
Watson, Dallas Goedert both out for the Eagles.
Huge. Huge.
But it's still Carson Wentz, a quarterback, and that concerns me a lot. So
we got to find a Joe Mixon bet for what you're saying. Yeah.
How are we going to work that in?
We move on to Texans Steelers. We got to find a quantifiable way. We got to find someone to pair him against. Maybe we'll find him in the next few matchups we go through. Texans Steelers. Ugh, not much to write home about. Love that Anthony McFarland got more opportunities here.
Yeah. He was the one guy who I singled out from this game.
Yep.
6 carries, 42 yards. Targeted twice in the passing game, caught one for 7 yards. Yeah. Looked good, though. Looked explosive. The thing is, James Conner, 6.1 yards per carry on 18 carries. I really thought that James Conner would fade out of this offense. And I get we're only in week 3. There's still a lot of time left. But I thought that he would struggle a little bit more than he has struggled. Is it too early to buy Anthony McFarland? I still don't think I'm there yet, even though I was so high on him coming out of Maryland.
In a deep dynasty league where injuries have just destroyed my backfield in dynasties, it's a startup. So I always maximize wide receivers because they have a much longer shelf life than running backs who only last 3-4 years at their peak. I was forced to start McFarland, and I felt very lucky that he produced what he produced.
Yeah, I'm on the other side of this where I think that James Conner, even though he had a very good week, like you were saying, you expected him to fade out on this offense. So did I. But I still think that that's a very real possibility. And I would look at this as sort of a blessing in disguise with James Conner. And if I have him, I would try to be selling him right now because I think this is the high point.
And if I'm being a smart ass, he's another guy who I'd say injuries around the corner, so
that
might as well be ready with the backup plan.
Not only is he in the bad graces of his coach, seemingly, there's a lot of usage from Anthony McFarland, who had 6 touches, and Benny Snell, who had 7.
Yep.
And James Conner, I mean, he had a good game, but moving forward, I would not be happy with his situation. I don't even have him in any leagues, but if I did, I would be looking to move him right now at his high point.
Texans giving up 188 rushing yards per game. That's the worst in the NFL.
They've played some good teams, man, between Chiefs, Rams, Ravens, and Steelers.
Yep.
You'd think that would be corrected, but yeah, that's not a great sign.
Nope.
And our bet for who has the most fantasy points of those Texans wide receivers is going to come down to the wire. Because Randall
this
Cobb
is a really good one.
Like, dude, that's an all-timer.
We're all going to lose because it's going to be Randall Cobb.
Yes, it is. Yes,
it is.
All right, let's move on to Colts Jets. Not too much to talk about in this one. Jonathan Taylor maybe just a smidge underwhelming in a game where the Colts blew them out. There's time. He's still young. We forget no preseason. This is really his third NFL game. I guess my big takeaway is I'm a Braxton Berrios believer with Jamison Crowder out. I am picking him up off the waiver wire. And
Jamison Crowder has a chance to come back this next week, so I'll keep an eye on that.
Love me some Jamison Crowder.
Keep an eye on that. My big takeaway from this game is that
Michael Pittman's hurt, by the way.
Yeah. And
usually,
it's a bad one. What surprises me is I don't have a take from this, Hank.
Go.
I'm sorry. Yeah. compartment syndrome. Same thing that happened to Raheem Moore back in the day, right? So something like that. But I remember, like, when it happened to the Bronco, I think it was Raheem Moore, they're saying, like, he could have lost his leg. They're lucky everything happened. Michael Pittman sounds like he might be back
Bummer, man.
At some point, but it is scary.
Is your take that Mo Alie-Cox's value has increased, guy?
It has to be, right?
Me? Well, that's a take.
Who else
sure.
could it be?
My take
Who else
would
could
be usually when you look at the schedule and you see very bad teams that your favorite players are going up against, you salivate and you're like, ooh, this is going to be a great matchup for them. I think the Jets are so bad that I almost don't want to play guys against them because they get game scripted out of it so quickly. This is a game where
right.
two pick sixes and a safety, and all of a sudden the T.Y. Hiltons and the Jonathan Taylors of the world, they don't get to do anything because the game is over before it even started, and the Jets are just that bad. And we've seen it in previous weeks with other guys. I mean, Raheem Mostert went off, but then all of a sudden there's other guys on the team that just don't get a chance to even see any production because the game's already over once one guy has taken it out of them. So
and that's to me, what's so surprising is that Jonathan Taylor couldn't produce more. You know, in a game that you win 36-7, 119 rushing yards, which is good, but you would think that it would have been more than that. But like Guy said, you're able to score so easily with the pick sixes and all that kind of stuff that the offense is hardly even on the field because the defense can score.
Yeah, the only caveat to that would be if you play a team so bad as the, say, Broncos, where that God only knows what's going to happen in that game. So maybe
somebody's
going to
get
Berrios.
Trevor Lawrence. That's what's going
to
happen.
Yeah, for reals. We move on to Panthers Chargers.
Actually, never mind. Sorry, go on.
Austin Eckler, man. I needed this. Mike Davis proving to be a quality pickup. Hunter Henry was a sit for me. 5 of 50. Not great. Not terrible as I predicted. DJ Moore was another sit for me. He was fine. 2 for 65. Nothing special. I don't have many takeaways from this, guys.
No. The running back carry split. Eckler had 12.
Josh Kelly was underwhelming.
Eight.
Yeah.
But both around 5 yards per carry. But again, just lacking the volume.
Which is surprising in a game where they were up this big that Josh Kelly, who's been more of their ground and pound up the middle guy, didn't get more touches. That's why I had him as a start.
But 49 passing happen. Attempts for Justin Herbert. That's what did it.
All right.
So you're not going to take a victory lap on Austin Eckler there?
I'll take a victory lap all year on Austin Eckler and Aaron Jones making me look like a genius.
And that's the Andre Simone I know.
Cardinals, Lions, what in the world is wrong with Kenyon Drake? You have 2 minutes to explain it, and we need to move on, Guy.
I don't think there's anything wrong with him necessarily. I just think that that's a very pass-happy offense. He's getting the fourth most carries in the league right now in terms of running backs.
Just in front of Joe Mixon. Very nice.
Yeah, one spot in front of him. Even with Chase Edmonds right behind him. Chase Edmonds, over 3 weeks, only has 12 carries. So he's not seeing much involvement in that offense either. It's just a very pass-happy offense. I think that Kenyon Drake will bounce back. I think he'll see more involvement. I just, I'm not entirely sure, you know, why he's not producing as much as he should be, but I think that things will turn around for him. And for me, he's another buy low candidate. I know that this seems like a I don't want to admit that I was wrong sort of thing, but I do really want to double down on this and say I'm very confident moving forward that if you can get him for a low price right now, he is going to bounce back because this is his absolute floor, but he's still seeing a lot of volume, and you follow those volume numbers.
Just hasn't been explosive enough. Not enough big plays out of him. Longest run of the season, 16 yards. Longest catch of the season, 6 yards. In a pass-happy offense, he only has 5 catches.
The concerning part to me is I thought this offense would spread the ball so much. Instead, Hopkins has really monopolized the touches, which is why we made our colleague Ryan Konigsberg very angry. We told him not to start Andy Isabella. He followed our advice. Terrible advice, because Andy Isabella had 2 touchdowns.
On 4 targets.
For 47 yards. I mean, that's an anomaly.
Yeah, exactly. All right, it doesn't change things.
Let's put a smile on that face, Guy. Kenny Golladay comes back. The Lions win. He gets a touchdown, and he has a nice day. So, Kenny Golladay, we believe in you. We needed you back. Guy knew all along you'd be better than Sutton. You'd be better than DJ Moore. You'd be better than Juju Smith. Strap on tight, Kenny Golladay owners, because it's happening. Choo-choo! All aboard the Kenny Golladay train.
Hell yeah.
Any Adrian Peterson thoughts? Like, is he picking up? He's on the waiver wire.
Our buddy from the draft podcast, Jake Schwanitz, I think said it best on Twitter. I can't believe Adrian Peterson is the same species as I. technically speaking, yes, he is, but in truth, he isn't the same species as the rest of us. He is just a Martian. What he's doing at 35 is absolutely incredible. Yeah. More than picking up Adrian Peterson, though, I am completely staying away from the rest of that backfield.
Agreed. I think that I'm out on Kerryon Johnson. DeAndre Swift doesn't look like he's up to the task quite yet. Maybe there's something behind Adrian Peterson and let somebody figure something out.
Zero touches is not quite up to the task. That's a hot take right there.
Yeah, that's what it is. Honestly, I think the Lions are just bad. Like, I think that's going to be the problem more than anything.
Wow.
I know they beat the Cardinals, but
I was gonna say, in another way, they just won the game and you're just.
Yeah.
They lost them some money, too.
Three picks thrown by Kyler Murray, that's going to do it most weeks.
Yeah, I mean, still got some growing pains, but.
All right, fellas. The game of the week as far as receivers were concerned, Seahawks-Cowboys, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett were unbelievable on one side. Michael Gallup and not Amari Cooper, not CeeDee Lamb, but one Cedric Wilson,
of course,
blow it up with two touchdowns. That's why I had CeeDee Lamb as one of my starts, right? Because I knew it wasn't going to be Cooper with all the touches. I was right about that. I was just wrong about who would get them. It turns out to be Gallup and Wilson. Yikes. And then,
yeah, I mean, don't be too hard on yourself because nobody saw that
like,
coming.
And also, CeeDee, 11.5 points in PPR leagues. It's not like that was
a bad
week.
Not terrible, right?
And he was the number four receiver in terms of fantasy points, putting up those numbers. That's you know, we talk about
crazy,
the Bills. Can
man.
They sustain having three, maybe four receivers?
Oh, the Cowboys,
certainly can.
Yeah, I'm a very happy Dak Prescott owner in fantasy. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, should be.
Chris Carson and Ezekiel Elliott underwhelm here.
Chris Carson hurt.
Big news. Like Travis Homer. And other backup running backs.
Carlos Hyde. Which one are you taking? Are you taking Hyde or Homer?
I'm a Homer myself.
Let's dial it back a second. I don't know what that noise was, but let's dial it back just a quick second. That injury was not like it's not a normal injury. You saw the way he just grabbed his leg and twisted. Yeah. Like he was an alligator trying to just dismantle his prey there. That's not,
that's
that doesn't say anything about Chris Carson's, you know, his fragility or his being prone to injuries. I think that was a freak sort of incident. Wasn't an accident, but it was an incident. Furthermore, it looked like the damage was going to be a lot more than it actually is. He has a chance to play in this upcoming week. I don't know if they actually will play him because they'll probably play it safe. But if you are going out of your way to try and pick up the next guy up in Seattle, you should know that it's probably only going to be at most a one-week rental. And there's a chance that he might not even get the full workload this upcoming week, and Chris Carson might come back and eat into that slightly. So don't spend too high on whoever it is that you pick up. It would be Carlos Hyde that I think would get the most touches there, but just be very cautious of that.
Yeah. Sound advice there. High-scoring game Sunday night, Packers-Saints. All right, so I guess Michael Thomas being out means two things. Drew Brees isn't great, though he still put up fantasy numbers in that game. And it means that Alvin Kamara is going to be spoon-fed touches and give you 40 points in a game. Yeah. And it was delightful for Alvin Kamara owners.
Can we just talk about how Drew Brees arrived at those numbers? Because it was Alvin Kamara just getting the ball and doing work and making Drew Brees look good. Like, I think Drew Brees was even walking off the field shaking his head on one of those touchdowns because he couldn't believe what he just saw.
Yep.
That doesn't say that Drew Brees still has it and that he's going to be productive moving forward. It just says that Alvin Kamara is that good that he can make other guys around him look good. But if Alvin Kamara has even somewhat of a down week, Drew Brees is going to be just, like, really at his floor. So yeah, I would not be thrilled with Drew Brees moving forward if I watched the game instead of just looking at the stat line.
Alvin Kamara had a, like, Reggie Bush at USC look to him in that game. He was
seriously
that dominant.
It was incredible. You know, even so, when Drew Brees was throwing to anybody but Alvin Kamara, he completed 16 of 22 passes for about 140 yards.
Yep.
A little under 150 yards.
Yep. And
so,
just one touchdown.
Those receivers, again, stay away. Same thing with Jared Cook. Until Michael Thomas gets back, then even that seems like a gamble.
I will be tooting my horn because of Aaron Jones getting me a touchdown once again. Not a superb day for him. Want more touches in the passing game, but I'll take it. Alan Lazard.
Yeah.
We've dabbled in Alan Lazard talk. It's full blownsies, as a doctor would say.
Full blownsies?
Mm-hmm. Like, it's on. Alan Lazard is a dude that you growth on want your butt? On your team.
Yeah, right. That's full blownsies.
Full blownsies, Alan Lazard, sir. We're going to schedule surgery for Wednesday. Can you make it in a window between 12 and 2? that's full blownsies, Alan Lazard. High-end pickup if by some miracle he's not on your team already.
And I'd pay attention because I think some people might be cutting Marquez Valdes-Scantling because he had such a down day. Those first 2 weeks were very big for him, though, averaging 15, 16, 17, something in there,
but that was
per game.
With Devontae Adams in the lineup opposite him.
Yeah, but as soon as somebody cuts him in your league, I'd swoop him up on the waiver wire as well, because this is certainly an offense that can keep
Marquez
Valdes-Scantling. Yep. That's going to be like the day after the waiver day, though.
Quick victory lap for Guy. We talked about Chris Carson. Carlos Edwards-Hilaire outplayed him, so that's the second bet that
I don't want to be excited about had. It. Yeah, because Chris Carson went down with an injury. So Clyde Edwards-Hilaire, I mean, it wasn't like an amazing game by any stretch of the imagination, but my biggest takeaway from that is that that's basically his floor. So, like, that's a game where, you know, you'd be happy if that's the lowest game that you're going to get from him. And I think that his ceiling is just like, if that's his floor, his ceiling is like, it's pretty immense. So I'm very happy as a CEH owner that that's like, I think that's the lowest I'm going to see all season. I hope. I mean, I'm knock on wood, except for against the Broncos when he's going to be non-existent. Right.
So
we haven't, did we like, even talk about that?
I watched film really intently. And I crunched some numbers, like, I stayed up all night doing this guy. Yeah. And my conclusion is, Patrick Mahomes, really good at football.
Whoa. I think it's a little too early to tell.
That's what the
data says. Are you sure?
That's what my data and expert analysis says. Okay. Lamar Jackson, I'm not panicking just yet after this game also. That's also what the tape tells me.
Agreed. Especially, I mean, Mark Andrews. I mean, I get that there were three plays. Three plays where the ball hit him in the hands, one in the end zone, one on a post route. There was a beautiful ball, only place it could have been. It's not a catch that every tight end makes every time, but when you're hyped up the way Mark Andrews is, you got to catch that.
And out of those
three passes, to not get any of them caught, it's a bad look. Yeah. And I'm not panicking on him either, but any of those would totally not only change the shape of the game, the Ravens would have stayed right in it. It changes what the stat line looks like for Lamar Jackson and, of course, for Mark Andrews as well, who had a down day.
But that was my point when we were doing our draft lead-up stuff. This is the case against drafting a tight end that early. I mean, if you're taking one of the top two in George Kittle and Travis Kelce, which George Kittle, you should have known that there were injury concerns going into it. But even then, I mean, you've got guys that are way further down the list right now that are outperforming Mark Andrews, and that's why you don't take
one of those middle
tight ends.
Mark Andrews was on fire, though, prior to this game.
Was he?
Yeah. No, I guess you're right. Yeah. He was on fire week one, and he has fallen off a cliff since then.
But I mean, one
last
drop,
week
but also
he had one reception for 29 yards.
Right.
And that... that premium.
He gets those touches to where I think he's worth that premium.
But you had to take him in like the third, maybe fourth round.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And last week he had one reception for 29 yards, and this week he had 3 for 22 with some bad drops.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
I think that once the Ravens play some bad teams, he's going to pad the numbers. You know, he's a guy
who... This game should have been a high-scoring game, man. This should have been a really good matchup for him.
Could we bet Mark Andrews ends as a top five tight end versus your Joe Mixon finishes as a top, eight? He's getting top five touches, right? So it's bound to come back to
top eight. Top eight is steep, though.
Is it?
I'll say
with all the injuries,
I would say like top 15.
No, top 15. Come on.
I mean, the guys at the top are producing so well.
Coming into the year, we were saying top 15.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's what I'm saying, is he rescues that.
Okay, we're going to mull over this Joe Mixon.
We'll think about
it. We will have a lockdown bet on Mixon and Drake and maybe Mark Andrews on our Thursday show, which is when we'll be taking most of your questions as well. Worth mentioning, J.K. Dobbins does have a nice day receiving, and we're intrigued by his promise. We're kind of buying J.K. Dobbins' stock early. I think that does it for us, guys.
I think it does.
All right. Thank you for tuning in. We will be back on our Thursday episode answering all your questions. Tune in next Tuesday. The NHL draft is going on that day, just like the presidential debate is going on today.
So we'll be adjusting, right?
And figure it out. We'll go early. Stay tuned. We'll let you all know. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you in 2 days.